Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for all that you do in our lives and all that you are, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue this morning to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that your Holy Spirit, that still small voice would speak into our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you have in your bulletin sheet, on one side it says sermon notes, on the other side it says weekly devotions. I encourage you to follow along that way. There's room in your sermon notes. Whenever God is speaking to you or whatever God speaks to you about, just to jot it down so that you have something that you can recall when God spoke to you what it was. And if you're listening online, there is a downloadable PDF file that has both the sermon notes and the weekly devotions. I ran into someone the other day whom I hadn't seen in a long while, years in fact. And as we began to talk, he noticed that I had lost some weight. And he complimented me on that. And as with any gain in life, there was a cost, so to speak, of obtaining that gain, which in this case was truly a loss. And as I thought about this loss, which was truly a gain, I thought about how oftentimes gains come only when we're willing to make a change in our life. Changes made which will have the benefit that we seek. But again, changes which oftentimes have a cost to us. Now, in my situation, the gain of losing weight came with a cost of no longer eating, shall we say, some of what many consider the more delectable foods in life, or even some favorable types of drink. I stopped what I perceived to be my cost, eating meats and breads and anything with sugar, including pop and hot chocolate. The hot chocolate was hard. But some of the changes were additions too. More green in my diet, which helped my body to become stronger, and I turned to tea as an alternative and beneficial drink. Then, of course, there was more exercise, or regular exercise too, probably more than regular. Eating green, drinking tea, and exercise was the cost for my gain, which was really about loss. All of this so I could be physically healthier, because as we all know, the body only lasts so long, which the Apostle Paul acknowledges. This treasure we have from God, this light of Jesus and the Holy Spirit within us, is housed, Paul would say, in brittle jars of clay, a temporary home for us. All this to note that all gains in life come with a cost. As Paul said to the Corinthians, read it with me. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. Paul's momentary troubles, the cost, dealt with ministry to people, and he uses this outward and today language versus an inward and eternal or tomorrow language. Outwardly wasting away, the cost was physical deterioration. Inwardly renewed, the gain was spiritual growth in God or with God. Momentary troubles today, the cost. Glory in eternity, the gain. Even though we experience momentary struggles in this life now, especially as we share Jesus, but even in all of our life, the momentary struggles, our relationship with God can be renewed day by day. These momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, which outweighs all the troubles that we experience today. So it's this today versus tomorrow. Now versus eternity. So to help us, Paul recommends this. He recommends that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is, read the rest of it with me, unseen. since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is saying this principle, or keeps this principle in mind. He says, keep the long-term goal. Keep the long-term goal in mind. In this case, that long-term goal is eternity. Keeping the gain in mind, not the cost. I don't know about you, but it's easy to get wrapped up in our situations today. We forget about the good or the joyful rewards of tomorrow. It's like when we discipline children. No one likes to do it, but if it doesn't happen, the long-term result can be disastrous. The momentary trouble today of correction has the long-term goal of a well-adjusted adult tomorrow. And we note that if we live life in terms of today's pleasures, we risk tomorrow's joys. If we decide not to share our faith with Jesus today because it can stress us out, and it does, doesn't it? We may not see others in eternity, which would be disastrous, or which would not be joyful. Now, what Paul is suggesting is that we place our eyes, really our focus, on what is to come. On what is to come. And when we focus on the far future, it helps to bring our current reality into a more manageable light. In the early 2000s, a movie called The Island was released. It's a story where people were living very regimented lives and monitored lives underground, and that was a result of some worldwide pandemic that killed most of the world's population. And every now and then, certain individuals living in this compound, underground compound, would win the lottery, and they would be allowed to leave to go to the island. And the island was a place where the pandemic was no more and life was lived very leisurely. Everyone looked forward to the island. One person in the compound was having vivid dreams of a life outside the compound he did not remember or experienced. And he ended up escaping the compound and went to that location where there was no pandemic, and he met a wealthy lookalike. What was happening was the wealthy man had been cloned so that when an organ or a part of his body gave way, he could get a replacement part. Wouldn't that be nice, huh? Thus extending his life, truly until he ran out of parts from this or any other future clones. Conceptually, the idea was that if he continued on, he could live forever. This allowed him to do whatever he wanted now, because his focus was on himself and his pleasures and only what he could see. There was no unseen for him, no heavenly dwelling to look forward to, which severely limited him in his understanding of what life is meant to be in the now and what life is meant to be in the future. And like the wealthy man in the movie, too many people today are living life only in light of today and the now, when they could be living life in light of eternity. This movie exemplifies the great tension in life we all face. The now versus the future, the seen versus the unseen, the earthly versus the heavenly. To see God dimly versus seeing God face to face. To look beyond the cost to the gain. And so what is that gain, we ask? How should we set our sights, so to speak? And Paul says, by living in light of eternity, by living in light of eternity, it allows our troubles to be seen more as momentary and gives us hope for our future. Paul goes on to say that he chooses to live by faith, not by sight. To live by faith, not by sight. Say it with me. Live by faith, not by sight. Kevin and Larry, they were brothers. And I met Kevin through my son's hockey teams when we lived up north. Kevin was a hard worker and owned a store dealing with the outdoors and all things hockey. I would occasionally talk to him while he sharpened the boy's skates, and eventually our conversation moved along to spiritual matters. Kevin took his faith seriously and looked forward to his future life with God in heaven. He lived by faith and not by sight. One day, probably years after I had met him, he told me his brother Larry, an equally hard worker, and as I understood him, a hard worker, he had suddenly died at the age of 55. And then he asked me to officiate his brother's funeral. As I learned more about Larry, he seemed like a really good guy. He was able to fix just about anything, having worked with machines in the mines of the UP, as well as heating and cooling, which he eventually did at a local university. However, when Larry encountered problems in life, the momentary troubles, he turned to alcohol as his fix. He was not living by faith, he was living by sight. He didn't have the capacity or maybe even the knowledge that there was a future eternal hope that he could focus on to help him through his momentary problems. Eventually, Larry did find God, though, through Alcoholics Anonymous, and he began to focus more on the eternal, living life in light of eternity, and what God could help him to do to get through his momentary problems. But then at some point, Larry began focusing once again on the seen and the now more than the unseen and the eternal. No longer living in light of eternity, which unfortunately led to his death. Friends, we have to note that to really live life, we must seek to live life in light of eternity, as it helps us to face and work through our momentary struggles. In fact, when we live life in light of eternity, it helps us with the decisions we make now to solve those momentary issues we have in our life. In my own life, after making a decision to focus more on the eternal, I found myself one night finishing a beer on my apartment porch. My thinking was, if I had one and it gave me a little buzz, I could have two and it would give me a bigger buzz. You see, I was not a social drinker. And if you've heard my story at all, you know my dad had a struggle with alcohol. And after a moment of reflection, a moment I believe God helped me to take a look at my future, the possible future, I determined that I would have a better life now and in eternity with the Lord if I would just give up alcohol altogether. Which at that point I did, moving from the seen to the unseen, the now to the eternal. Because of my new focus changing to be more on the eternal, I was able to more easily give up drinking in the now. And so we know that our decision-making process is even better when we focus on the eternal instead of the now. Our decision-making process is better when we focus on the eternal instead of the now. Living life in light of what? Eternity. Now, for some of us, we need incentives to be able to make this jump from living life for now into living life for eternity. And God gives us Paul gives us two incentives with God. And so he says this first, read it with me. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now you have to admit that if you want to make better decisions now, that looking into the future can help you, right? You can admit that whether you're Christian or not. Making decisions now is better when you look into the future than it is when you're living in the now. But sometimes we need incentives. And for Christians, Paul gives us these two incentives. You make it what? You make it a what? A goal to do what? To please God. Keith had some goals in life. One was to own his own outdoor business, but the other was to serve God and to please God, which was helping him to live life in light of eternity. Larry had desires too, but he couldn't seem to focus on his eternity. He didn't really want to please God, so, well, other than maybe some time at AA, but the struggles won out over the goal of pleasing God or keeping his eyes on eternity. Listen, I understand that the struggles people face are real. They can be truly difficult. Whether it is physical struggle of aging or even the brokenness in one's body that we experience from time to time, or be it raising a family or the cost of living or working, or be it emotional or relational struggles, the relational struggles that I believe Larry faced, they are all real. They are all hard. Especially if it's a loved one going through it and you cannot help them see beyond the now, the today, or sometimes even move on from what happened yesterday to focus on the future, on the eternal. But Paul says to make it a goal. Make it a goal. I say your number one goal, to please God. And as Christians, that should be your number one goal. With how you think about life, with how you think about people, how can I please God with how you speak and act those things that you thought? And then decide to hold on to life more loosely in this life. Wouldn't it be better if we were just a little bit more relaxed in life? Please God by choosing to live more generously with your time, with your talents, with your resources. After all, you can't take it with you, can you? So when you freely give away those things that sometimes we hold so tight, we grip so hard, it's so hard to give up. When we freely give these away, Jesus says that we're storing them up in heaven. We're storing our treasures up in heaven, the unseen, the eternal. I know you will more easily get your sights on eternity and pleasing God if you live life this way, if you just freely give away all that makes you you to others. Now, some of us are natural people pleasers. And I could ask you to hold up and some of your hands would go up. And this would be enough incentive for you to begin to focus on tomorrow, to begin to focus on your faith, the unseen and the eternal, because you're people pleasers. But others of us, they need a second incentive, and Paul gives it to us to help us move from for living for today alone basis living for tomorrow eternally. And Paul says it this way. Read it with me. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So for some of us who need a little more encouragement or a little more incentive, Paul states that there will come a time when you will stand before God and give an account of what you have done or not done. But it's the phrase in the middle that really grabs my attention or concerns me. It says, so that each of us may receive what is due us. What is due us? Paul is telling us to view life eternally because what goes around comes around. Yes, be clear of this. We are forgiven people. Those of us who believe in Jesus as their Savior and truly desire to turn from a life of disobedience to God and others to focus on eternity, we are forgiven. Whew. Right? You were a little worried, I could see. But just as clear, there are rewards in heaven for the good we have done on behalf of the Lord. And for lack of better words, consequences to our actions that have been done on behalf of ourselves. The second incentive Paul gives us is to live life in light of eternity. And we have to note that God will reward us for our acts of obedience in Jesus' name. God will reward us for acts of obedience in Jesus' name. So if you're a people pleaser, it's enough just to want to please God. If you're a reward seeker, God puts that incentive out there. Store up your treasures in heaven. Store up your rewards in heaven. I won't even deal with today if you don't. I believe God sets us free. Free to really live life fully when we set ourselves to living life in light of eternity. To do wonderfully sweet and good things for God now. To do wonderfully and good and sweet things for others now. And God also gives us incentive to those who need a little bit more light underneath them to get them going by letting them know that there are consequences in heaven as well as, well, we'll let that go. Yes, even the thief on the cross got into heaven at the last moment. But my guess is his reward was far fewer or far smaller than, say, the Apostle Paul, who also initially fought against Jesus, in fact tried to destroy the church, would eventually turn and spend the rest of his life to become Jesus' greatest defender of his age, giving his life fully to the Lord, fully to the eternal. And he tells us to do the same. And I know that he stored up great treasures in heaven. You want to live in a shack or a mansion? So where do you see yourself today? What helps you through your momentary struggles? What motivates you to do good in Jesus' name? On the bottom of your sermon notes, there's a challenge for this week, and it's simply this. What will you do to either please God or gain a reward from God this week? What is that one thing that God has been asking you to do that you have not done to either please Him or to get a reward from Him for doing? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it has something to do with a change in lifestyle. Like me, I needed to change my lifestyle. Or maybe it has something to do with a relationship, something that needs to be repaired. What I know is this, is that God wants you to live and to be free. To be free to live life in light of eternity. Don't you want to experience living life with freedom? Then seek to please God. Don't you want to reap the eternal rewards for living for God, living by faith and not by sight? Then seek your rewards, or seek to store up your treasures in heaven. Focus on the eternal. Either way, there is no time like the present to begin living life in light of what? Eternity. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful that you do give us freedom. And you have chosen to give us freedom, especially as we live life in light of eternity. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to seek you, Lord, that you would set us free to be more than what we could ever hope or imagine, that you would set us free from some of the difficult and momentary troubles we run into in this day and age. Lord, that you would set us free to love you, to worship you, to love others, to help others, that you might be glorified. And for some of us, that we might store up treasures in heaven. So Lord, set us free, we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.